Once you've had the faith to ask God and believe you've received something, because you know you're asking in accord with His will, from that point forward, it no longer really becomes about faith. Now the issue is patience. It's not really faith. It's simply being patient. And you don't have to have a battle of faith if you'll recognize the faith has already secured the blessing. Now it's about patiently waiting until time catches up to the day that God has placed it in your life. It's now 8:15 on February 19th, 2022. I'm on the mountain and I am feeling like junk. But I've been giving God thanks for it. I've had a really bad morning. I have felt no sense of the joy and closeness of God, clarity in thinking. It has been a dark morning for me. And I don't recall there being any bizarre dreams. It was just this sense of feeling physically not well and spiritually sitting at the Word. I just felt like I would have sat and looked at it with a frown on my face a little bit this morning. I was kind of confused about where I should read. Ended up in some of the prophets and realized I don't even need to be thinking about this right now. Who can understand these things type of thing? And I just was confused and just really feeling kind of frustrated with my whole just morning experience, and just sitting there quietly, though not really frustrated showing it, but quietly. But anyhow, last night I want to capture is when I told Lisa that I feel that things are really changing this new season, that I'm not going to be capturing all these journal recordings contradicting what I'm doing right now, but there's a reason. And I haven't been making a bunch of journal recordings on the mountain. I haven't even been feeling like doing it. And then last night, I end up having this revelation about faith, which I'll never be able to capture right now while I'm not feeling so well. I have a terrible headache. I've only made it 3/4 up the way of the mountain. I've had to turn back around. I started to feel nausea. I have thanked God for all this, but I've asked Him to please bless me and strengthen me and lift me back up. And then I've just mostly spent the time thanking God for the difficulties, the pains in my neck, the pain in my head, the absence of you know, that real strong sense of joy, and that all is well with my soul. I said, oh God, it's like a rainy day, and it keeps me from taking for granted all the good days You give me. And I just began to praise Him and thank Him for all this. And I'm not living by faith, I mean by fear or feelings, but by faith. And I'm okay, and I know the sun's going to come out again, and just the same old things that I do when the Lord is pleased to give me days like today. And I just thanked Him for whatever it is that He allows Satan to do to keep me low. But what is interesting is that before this morning started like this, the numbers are just incredible, spot on, precise, perfect this morning. I'm going to deliver you. You won't be ashamed. I will make the way, et cetera, et cetera. So I see all this. It's like every time I grab my phone, there it is. And they're just perfect, all the same subject. And I'm just like, wow, thank You, God. Then I see 6:11 and 6:16. I doubt it for a little bit. Now I don't doubt it. I know that Satan's attacking me. And God is pleased to allow it to happen. It keeps the servant humble, ever dependent. And I have cried out for more things, more for humility than anything. I've just been asking the Lord every day, God, whatever it takes, keep me humble. Keep me little in my own eyes. I said, Lord, I want to make a big deal out of the ministry. I want to make a big deal out of Your grace, a big deal out of Your wonders. I want to make a little deal out of me. I am nothing. Nonetheless, today is a difficult day. No doubt I'm being attacked by Satan in my mind. I've had quite a few flaming arrows like that come into my mind. And so I'm not getting any relief from prayer. I'm just thanking God for it. And I said, okay, Lord, I'm just going to bring my spirit low before this. And this is what I'm doing. I'm just bringing my spirit low. I really am feeling terrible. I'm surprised I shouldn't even be making this message. God help me in Jesus' name. I'll probably have to re-record this. What happened last night with Lisa and I in prayer, and she suggested that I make a recording about this, even though I'm really starting to not make recordings anymore. Transitioning into a new stage of our life, I'm just now capturing details in my day one journal. Last night I have this revelation about prayer and faith. I feel I've already known this, but it just came to me, I think, in a more profound, enlightened way. It started with me seeing the markers for Mark 11:24 at least 4, maybe 5 times yesterday. Lisa and I noticed this passage of scripture, and it even came up twice in the Streams in the Deserts devotions separately. So Mark 11:24, whatsoever things you ask for in prayer, believe you have received them and they will be yours. So I'm laying on the couch, I'm not feeling good, starting to feel that evening time frustration of not being able to be with my wife and my best friend who I love so much. And I realize I'm going to go downhill. I need to pray. We need to pray. I had just seen that Mark 11:24 verse again when we were looking at a Streams in the Desert. And the next thing I know, I see this 11:24. I raise up. I say, we're going to pray. I grab my phone. It's 8:48. Go in peace. Your faith has delivered you. Luke 8:48. So we got up and we began to pray. And suddenly this energy that I don't have now came into me to pray. And I just began to thank God, and I began to speak to Him about it is already done. There was this sense it's already done. And I started telling Lisa, I said, sweetheart, I'm already in New Zealand. I'm already in New Zealand. We don't have to keep asking. And I said, don't ask God to get me to New Zealand anymore, sweetheart. I said, don't ask Him again to do this. He has already gotten me in New Zealand. And she's like, okay, okay. And I said, we have to be sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And we are going to believe that what we've asked for has been done. And I said, here's my basis for this. And I began to explain to her that I learned the principle first from Chuck Missler, albeit on a slightly different subject. It's the idea that God is outside of time and space, which apparently are actual measurable elements. Like time is an element. It can change based on speed. For example, time is different at the speed of light than it is at normal, apparently. So there's this, it's an element that has a, it's not that it's tangible, but it's changeable. Same thing with space. The way Chuck Missler had described how God is in relation to time and space being outside of it is he uses the example of a parade, and that we as humans, we are constrained by time. And we are, if you will, subject to it at all times. It keeps going on whether we want it to or not. And we're all in it no matter how much money or superior intellect you have. You're in it. And it's in you. And so he's saying, you know, we are like the people standing on the street watching a parade as it goes by car, float by float. We have that real time perspective. And to anticipate or remember what we see up front is very difficult. Or in fact, if you didn't get a good look at it and it's past you, you can't really see it now and you can barely see what's behind you. And the farther you try to look back, the more difficult it is to see. Those are my little adds on to this illustration. But he was explaining that that's how we see time is linear. It just happens right in front of us. And then God is outside of it. So God is, if you will, standing on the top of a, say, a high-rise condominium that's overlooking the parade. And God, from His perspective, is able to see the very first part of the parade and the very last part of the parade. He's able to see the whole thing, the beginning and the end. And so, for example, one of the devotional writers in Streams says, we must understand that God lives in an ever-present now. And it's the idea that when God says yes, or God gives us a promise, it is as good as if it were done. And we see this, Romans 4:17, the God who calls things that are not as though they were. Because to us, they're not, but to Him they are. And to Him they are because they really are. He has done it. Time has simply not yet caught up. This is what I'm starting to understand more and more, is that when we pray and God answers, it is already done. And I said to Lisa, I said, okay, so imagine that we ask God for something that's according to His will. He says yes, and from His high-rise condo view, He reaches down into that linear time that we're only seeing a tiny little gap of, a little bitty picture of at a time. He reaches down into in the future, And places the answer to the prayer right there. It's done. It happened. But time, because it's an element and we're subject to it being linear in our life, has not yet caught up such that we don't yet see that God has answered our prayer. This is really incredible to think about, that when God, He doesn't sit around and wait to see. He answers the prayer. He perhaps even answers our prayers sometimes before we're even ready for it and before our faith is full in it, because He knows eventually it will be. God being omniscient, He's able to answer our prayers before our prayers would even qualify for Him to answer it. There's no doubt people have found that they've prayed prayers. I've read stories of it where then they find out the prayer was actually being answered before they were praying it. Oh Lord, we need $6,000. And while D.L. Moody and his people are in their prayer, they come up out of prayer and there's a knock at the door. And somebody had brought them, they had taken up a collection, it was $6,000. So that means God had started working on the prayer before they even actually asked it. So God in His omniscience knew of the need before you even did. He's outside of time and space. So in that same way that He can answer our prayers before we even ask, He can answer our prayers before we have even been qualified, really, to have enough obedience, enough faith, or the right attitude, or whatever, to get it, because He knows by the time we receive it linearly, we will be ready for it. But the fact is so it's like this. God has given us all these promises, and He said to us, I will deliver you. You will not be put to shame. You will rejoice in this blessing, you know? And He's given us all these, I've granted you the desire of your heart, etc. You will not be put to shame. You will not be put to shame, over and over again. I will deliver you. I'll remove all the obstacles, the mountains, raise up the valleys, bust through the bronze gates, cut through the iron bars, make every path that's crooked straight, make every obstacle go away, basically. So we see that He has said He will do it. We will not be disappointed. And that means actually He's already done it. It's just, both of them are true. It's already been done and it hasn't been done yet. It's already been done by God, by His power, by His decree, by His faithfulness, and by His act. But it hasn't been done yet to our linear perception of time in life. So for example, we're discovering right now, we are in the 3-year anniversary of when God was beginning to move me to New Zealand. So all of my journal entries from 3 years ago in 2019, February, are all about me prepping the tiny house to sell it to move to New Zealand. And we're fast approaching the 3rd anniversary of the day that P says, I'm not going with you to New Zealand. We're going to separate, basically. So that is just around the corner, today being the 19th of February. The thing is that my mom had told me, Asi, you were wrong about New Zealand. One time when we were debating about, you know, God's direction in my life, I said, Mom, what have I been wrong about? All these things you've stood against, what have I been wrong? She goes, well, you were wrong about New Zealand. And she brought up Laura. I said, okay, well, we know Laura was a placeholder. God clearly used her. So I was intended to be wrong about that. And I said, you're right about New Zealand. I don't understand it. But I said, look, God used it to reveal P's hand that she was apostate, that she wasn't going to go with me. But now here it is. 3 years later, my tiny house that I originally built for P, that's been taken away from her, is now in New Zealand. And I'm going. So we can look back and see 3 years ago when God called me to go to New Zealand, I was already there 3 years ago. Linear time has not yet caught up. And if we can understand this, it gives us a whole new reason to fear God when we doubt Him. I said, Lisa, I said, can you imagine, I am asking for God to do something. He does it. And then when it doesn't happen, as soon as I think it should have or hoped it had, I begin to doubt. And I start saying, but Lord, you said you would do this. Please do this. We haven't understood. It's already been done. So then when we bring doubt, it's like we're going and telling God that He didn't do something He already did. This is where the eyes of faith come in. This is why God finds it so contemptuous. See, and this is where God has to be ultra patient with us, and He has to probably remind Himself. Just like He used a rainbow to remind Himself not to kill all of life again with a flood, He probably has to remind Himself, let me remember they're made of dust. Let me remember they're subject to time and space, and I am not. That when I hear their prayer and I answer it, I put it in play like He lays it down on a timeline that's in the future. He puts that exact time it's going to happen and date. And meanwhile, between the time we ask and the time that date comes, we're still praying, oh, but Lord, you said, and oh, Lord, we hoped, and oh, God, why won't you do this? Why haven't you done this? And meanwhile, God is able to see in the future, I have done it. It's already been done. Stop doubting. Stop showing me contempt. And we don't understand how filthy it is. If we see this, if we understand this correctly, we can see why every single moment of doubt is so wrong, because God, if we've believed Him, has already done it. And we're pointing at something God did and saying, you haven't done it yet, because to us, He hasn't. But on the timeline that God is on, that He can see all of time from beginning to end, it has already been done. It's already there on our timeline. Our life simply hasn't caught up yet. Time hasn't yet caught up to the promise. And so last night I told Lisa, I said, sweetheart, I'm already in New Zealand. And there's just this newness of true deep understanding of this that came into my heart. Wow, God, this has already happened. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, God begins to help me to see this. I mean, I'm thinking about how all those prayers and trusting God in the wilderness, there were some I said, Lord, please move on somebody's heart to make a sizable donation. God, you can turn this all around, Father God. You can show that you're with me. And I would pray and, you know, that somebody would be moved to give a sizable donation. God answered that prayer. But it took perhaps 8 or 9 years for time to catch up. And you look and see what happened with the biggest donation I've ever received by far, that $44,000 donation that got the tiny house there. God telling me, believe Him from New Zealand, you won't be put to shame. And yet, when time passed, it completely contradicted that I was going to New Zealand, and it looked like He ruined it all. Nope, I'm still in New Zealand, and now my tiny house is already in New Zealand, and I'm there already. I just haven't arrived yet. The timeline hasn't caught up yet for the day when God has decreed, on this day, at this time, you will be in New Zealand. It was just a whole new way of seeing faith and understanding God, who calls things that are not as though they are. And again, they are in heaven. As far as it goes to God's decree, God's faithfulness, God putting forth the power to make it happen, I believe it's already happened. It's like the Bible says that Jesus Christ was slain from the foundation of the world. It looks like it only happened, you know, 2,000 years ago. In this 6,000 to 7,000 year period of human history that we've all biblically believed has taken place, it looks like, well, that's a long delay, but that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says He was slain from the foundation of the beginning of the earth. And this is another thing that's amazing when you read Isaiah and you realize you're reading in Isaiah 9 or 53, and you're reading about Jesus Christ and all these prophecies about Jesus Christ. And it makes it sound like it's just around the corner. It literally, you don't have any idea if you are the prophet Isaiah or if you are one of his readers back then, that he's talking about something that is 700 years in the future. You're talking about generations and generations of people are going to come and go and die before that ever even happens. And God speaks of it as if it's already happened. When you read the book of Isaiah, it makes it sound like it's just around the corner. That's because God has already done it. Time on earth just hasn't caught up with yet. So really what I see is, once you've had the faith to ask God and believe you've received something because you know you're asking in accord with His will, from that point forward, it no longer really becomes about faith. Now the issue is patience. It's not really faith. It's simply being patient. And you don't have to have a battle of faith, if you'll recognize the faith has already secured the blessing. Now it's about patiently waiting until time catches up to the day that God has placed it in your life. It's about patience. Hebrews 6, 12 and 15 tells us, do not be lazy, but imitate those who through faith and patience. Like, faith happens in a moment. You just suddenly believe. It's like when you become a follower of Christ, you have this moment of faith where you believe. And then you have to patiently wait for God to save you, for God to guide you, for God to answer prayers, etc. But you had a moment of faith, and I believe it's more like that with all of our praying. We ask God, we finally wrestle to the point where we've gotten faith and we believe that God has witnessed in our spirit that we've given him faith. And then we can move forward and begin to thank God. Now I'm understanding why, more than ever, the need to thank God for the things that we have gone before him and in faith believe we have received from him. So for example, I'm going and praying about this financial obligation or praying about an issue with a spouse or my child or whatever it is. You go, and when you feel faith, tell you that God has heard your prayer. You don't have to have the faith anymore. Now you just have to be patient. You've already given him the faith. And now I can see why it's so important to thank God for what he's already done even before you receive it. I mean, I've been doing this by faith for years because that's what those who went before me told me I should do. But for some reason, I'm having such a much keener insight into why that is. And it's because God truly has already answered your prayer. It's just like with Daniel 10:12. There's a perfect example. Your prayer was first heard when you humbled yourself and you sought to understand. First heard. He came with faith. He came in humility. The prayer was heard then. And God does not seem to... I think that God does not go, okay, let's set that one aside and wait until they're ready. No, God already knows when you're going to be ready. We see it from a very different perspective than heaven does. That's what I'm seeing now as God is showing me. He knows exactly when you pray for something, whether or not he to give it to you or not, and when to give it to you. It's not like God has to be subject to our time. He's not subject to, well, I wonder what decisions they're going to make, though, that may affect, you know, look, put this in the too hard basket, as Lisa would say, and let's get back to that prayer when I see some more improvement in this person. That's not how God deals with this. I bet God only touches the prayer one time. Otherwise, you'd have to constantly be touching it. And now he's multiplying his work. No, he looks at the prayer and through his omniscience, he can instantly discern, okay, is this part of my will? Has this person truly given me faith? And if he can say yes to both of those, then he goes ahead and answers the prayer and he sets it out there through his omniscience exactly when he knows we will be ready to receive it and when the best time is for us to have it. This is something that is so revolutionary in my thinking. This just came to me last night and I started basically fervently saying, it's already done, sweetheart. God is, I'm already in New Zealand. And I said, don't dare ever ask God to get me to New Zealand again. And then last night she said, well, honey, can I ask him to do it on the 27th? I said, yes, honey, you can ask him. I don't think he faults us for asking him to do that. But the fact is that that day is already determined. That day is already determined. So it almost seems kind of silly for us to say 27th. We've already asked him for it. He knows exactly what day it's going to be. We just have to now exercise patience until the answered prayer time window arrives to us. We are not waiting for God to answer our prayers. I'm absolutely convinced of this. We are not waiting for God to answer our prayers. We are waiting for that time that he has already placed the answer in to pass by us in a linear way, proper word. But we're just waiting for that to pass by us. This seems like a huge revelation to my heart. Really big insight on understanding prayer and why it is that God probably gets so frustrated with us when we keep going to him with these doubtful prayers rather than, again, if you need to wrestle with God for faith, you wrestle with him. But once you get the faith and you know that he's heard you, you don't keep wrestling with him on that. Now you just have to wait patiently. And in the process of waiting, faith says, thank you for hearing my prayer. Thank you that you've already answered it. Thank you in your kindness that you've done this for me. And that's where faith is really continued. That's the part of faith that continues, not the wrestling faith, but the faith that sees it's already been done. Whatsoever things you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received them and they will be yours. If you can't believe it, it won't be yours. I mean, that's the clear teaching. Without faith, it's impossible. And so if I were to ask God for, I don't know, God, I want a new Corvette. I'm not going to be able to ask God for that in faith. That's not something I even want. It's just a silly example. I have to be able to ask in faith. I have to be able to believe in accord with what I know about God's will. And I have to be able to be in a position where my conscience doesn't condemn me. I'm not living in known sin. So I can't go and ask God for something when I'm living in sin or in violation of His commandments, or I'm not being wholehearted, or I'll, you know, love the gift rather than the giver, etc. So I have to have met the qualifying requirements. And there are a great number of these in order for prayer to be answered. It should be that once I have prayed in accord with God's will, then I know that He's heard me, 1 John 5:14 and 15. This is our confidence. If we ask anything according to God's will, we know that He hears us. If we know He hears us, we know we have from Him what we ask of Him. Now it just simply becomes that faith is positioned, is to patiently wait and to graciously give thanks until we receive the promise. Wow, this is a real serious, amazing revelation on prayer and faith that God seems to have given me. And I am so thankful. And suddenly I'm not having a terrible headache anymore. I'm not super comfortable, but I had the energy to get that out by the grace of God. Thank you, Jesus Christ. So I'm already in New Zealand. How about that? And I'm already in heaven. To take it to its furthest extent, I'm already in heaven. God already knows the day I'm dead. Time just hasn't yet caught up with that day. He knows the day that I'm going to step over and cross over. It's not subject to men. It's not subject to the world. It's not subject to cancer cells multiplying in my body. It's not subject to anything other than God's time. He's already appointed the day for me to die. That day is already determined. And I cannot escape it. I don't want to escape it. Time just hasn't caught up with that yet. It's like, it's amazing. We think, well, if I'm real careful and I don't fall and slip and hit my head today, if I'm real whatever about the car accidents or being real careful about this, or if I make sure blah, 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 blah. Yes, you need to steward those things, but it doesn't matter. When your day comes, and that day is already determined. All your days were determined before you were born. How remarkable, man. This could just go so deep.